Is in you. And Father, we thank you that you bless your word, because your word is the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you that your word points us to you, to our living God, whom we have a fellowship and a relationship with. And Lord, I thank you that you wish to speak to our lives and hearts. Thank you, Father, that you are causing us to look away from the things of this world, that we can look upward, that we can be men and women of faith, those sojourners simply passing through. Thank you, Father, now for your blessing over this room and the blood of Jesus over us. And we thank you now for your word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, welcome everyone this evening, and it's good to have the saints coming into the room and to be able to share and to share and feast around God's word, because we're told that faith comes by hearing the word of God, and without faith it is impossible to please God. But we're also told that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. And tonight, for those of you taking notes, and a title for our teaching is, Does Our Faith Rise Above Common Sense? Does our faith rise above common sense? And I want us to turn to some scripture which is very familiar to us in the Gospel of John. And I want us to primarily look at John 11 and verse 40. But it's in the context of where Jesus has been called to raise his friend Lazarus, who has died, from the dead. And of course, all of this is pointing to what Christ is going to do, how he is going to overcome death. So all of this is an indication of what is coming. And indeed, as we look at this, we can see what is coming also for us as well. Let's actually take it up from verse 38. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, and this is what I want to talk on tonight, Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? And then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And listen to that short prayer. He just reiterates and knows in his heart that the Father has heard him. Because Jesus knows that. That is a revelation to him. And with that, it says, "And I know that you are always hear me, but Jesus, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Praise God. And of course we know the rest of the story. He comes forth and the people are amazed at what has happened. This man has been dead 4 days. And our faith has got to rise above common sense. Common sense said, you don't do that sort of thing. Common sense would say, this person has been dead now these number of days. It can't be done. It's not the sort of thing you do. And this is what God is trying to do in these last days with those who love the Lord, those who are disciples of Christ, those who are desiring with all their hearts to walk by faith and not by sight. He's going to get us to do great exploits that defy common sense. And common sense has a huge hold over us, but we know that we are in deliverance, and our deliverance is the changing of our minds, that our minds may become the minds of Christ, casting on those thoughts, imaginations that war against the mind, as we know. And in verse 40, he says here quietly and clearly, Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? And faith is all about the glory of God. It is God being glorified. Our faith, the exploits of faith, must always point to one person, and that is Almighty God, which gives him all the praise and all the glory. And whatever God does through us, whether it's individually or corporately through a body, God must always get that praise and that glory. Our faith must always point to the one who's the author and finisher of that faith. Now, in our everyday walk, our circumstances, or common sense as we know, completely goes against our faith, that is, completely contradicts common sense. And this is the battle that we have. Our faith, even the fact that we are here tonight in this room, called by God, because none of us are here by mistake, the very fact that we are here, we love Jesus, we desire to walk by faith, it goes against common sense. Common sense would say, what are you doing tonight? What are you doing in this room? There's far better things you could be doing than wasting time here. That's what common sense will say. And so when we are born again, and that faith which is a gift placed into our hearts, something begins to take over that starts to defy, that starts to contradict common sense. Because God is going to try and get and work with us so that we rise above common sense. We rise above our senses. We rise above what we see, what we feel, what we hear, what we touch. All those things that common sense depends on, that gives us common sense, God says our faith will rise above that to believe and embrace the promises of God, which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And so the natural carnal life, which is common sense, there's then the other side, which is the spiritual life. And that is what we have to nourish, brothers and sisters. Just quickly in John 8 and verse 32, in John chapter 8 and verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So the Holy Spirit, who comes to teach, guide, and anoint us, is the one who sets us free. And what is he setting us free from? He's setting us free from common sense. And the way we are set free from what we see, what we feel, is by receiving the Word of God, which is truth. God's Word is undefiled. God's Word is holy and is pure. And that is why we need the unction, the anointing of the Spirit, in which to teach that pure word. Because as we embrace and take in that pure word, i.e. the parable of the sower, so we are able to start to rise above senses, feelings, above all common sense, which we are talking about. Now, common sense has a place. If you're not in faith, you're not trusting God, then I will say to you, as anyone else would, then you use common sense. Because you're going to be in trouble. But I want to show you tonight how for the overcomer, that God is raising us up above what we see and know as common sense. Every one of us tonight who's listening to this has a degree of common sense. We know what common sense says. For example, if you're sitting in a room or you're in a situation and you begin to smell smoke or you see fire or flames, common sense says get out of that place as quick as possible. And 9 times out of 10, that's what we will do, unless faith is in operation and there's a higher revelation and understanding of what God is about to do in that situation. So common sense has its place. But do you want to walk the rest of your life as an overcomer, just subject to common sense all the time? Or do you want to start to rise up with what God shows us, that we can be men and women who walk by faith in these last days, who can do these exploits that Jesus left and showed us that we too can do as well? We have a decision. We can decide what we want to do. We can decide in many ways how we want to walk with God. Although God has a perfect will and plan for us, it's whether we're willing to yield over that, to allow the Holy Spirit to work that in and through us. That is always the question, because God will never force our free will. But if you read the Word of God in the light of the Holy Spirit, who's our teacher, it won't take you long to realize that men, women were called by God to walk by faith. One of the great patriarchs, as we know, was Abraham. Simply called, come, and he walked by faith. Didn't know where the land was, didn't know where his home was. And he wasn't just himself, he had his family as well. But God was leading and guiding him. And then revealed to him he was going to have an heir. And we know all the story on that. But they that worship God in spirit and in truth, because that is how we're to worship God, that is how we're to follow God. You see, we often think when we quote that, they that worship God, worship him in spirit and in truth. We often tend to think that that's when we come into church and we're raising hands and worshiping and praising God. It's a lot more than that. Worshiping God in spirit and truth is our consecration. It's our walk. It's a walk that is spiritual. That's what it's all about. Which is part of our worship. We're created to worship God. Of course we are. And the fact that we're created to worship God means that we walk by faith. That's what glorifies him, as we all of us well know. But can we trust Jesus where our common sense cannot trust him? And that's the point. Can we trust Jesus enough to let go of what common sense says? And to know that he will never leave us or forsake us. He will not let us fall. That's the question. Because brothers and sisters, if you haven't, you are going to be challenged in those areas. Sooner or later. Where we will find that spiritually we are to walk on the water. When God called Peter, and Peter got out of the boat, he walked on the water. He was defying common sense. You don't walk on water. But faith says you do. And that's the whole point. Many say sometimes, I can't believe. Well, if you can't believe, then at that point, you better rely and depend on common sense. Until God works with you. He works with each of us. But we need to be very careful, brothers and sisters, because very often sometimes we use common sense to try and explain faith. You can't explain faith. Faith just knows how to act at the right time. And so on. Faith will know what to do. Faith will know when it's right to take that step. Faith will know when it's right to do whatever faith does. But we have been guilty at times of mixing common sense with faith. And the two are diametrically opposed. And that's where it can throw you into compromise and confusion. And very often the enemy will use that, and then he attaches those fears and other things that go with it, you see. But can we step out in faith when common sense continues to shout out at us, telling us it's impossible? We have to come down from feelings, from emotions. Now some of us tonight may get very quickened in the spirit by this teaching. And after we've heard this teaching tonight, yes, I can speak to those mountains and they will be removed and cast into the sea. So often when we hear an anointed teaching, we get so excited. What we're going to do for God is nobody's business. But that is not where faith operates. Because you'll simply be operating in emotions and in feelings. Where often our faith is to operate when we have to come down off those mountain tops into the demon-possessed valleys of below. It is in those demon-possessed valleys where we have to walk by faith and overcome and trust the Lord. You see, that is where we walk. Anyone can say, oh yes, you know, I'll walk for God after you've had a blessed meeting or you've been away and had a blessed weekend or whatever it will be. But the point is that our faith has to operate, work and overcome in the valleys. And when you are in the valleys, common sense says, don't do anything. It's not safe down here. It's demon possessed. It can be dangerous. There's things can happen in the valley. In the valley it's dark and so on. And so common sense sets in and says, well, wait till you get on the mountaintops and then you can start to walk and believe by faith. My friends, that's not where it works. Doesn't work in those conditions. It's so often in the valleys. And what are the valleys? They're the trials, the tests, the delays of faith, the trials that come our way and so on. That is where the believing comes. That is what we look to. Why has God chosen for us to walk in that way? It's quite simple, because then you begin to walk by faith and not by feelings, emotions, or that common sense, which of course is what we're talking about tonight. You see, our faith, which works in the valleys, completely contradicts how I feel. And you know, our feelings can change from hour to hour, just like the wind. Or our faith very often is to act when I don't feel it's the right time to do so. How often have we had to believe God or take a step of faith when actually in the natural we feel it's not the right time to do it? It'll never be the right time to act in faith. I can tell you that now, because it goes against common sense. Or we use the excuse, I need more faith. Our God is the God of now, today. And you have a degree of faith today that's divinely given to each one of us to believe for the impossible. Yesterday's faith is finished. It is today's faith. Leave tomorrow's faith for tomorrow when it comes, if the Lord tarries. But you and I have the faith today, the faith of God today, that resides, lives in us, to be able to believe God and all the things that are contained in this day that we meet. That is how we are to walk. You try and work your faith for the future in that sense, and you will miss it. Now, of course, we are believing for things because the Word of God, the promises of God, show us to believe. We can believe for the salvation of our loved ones, our families, and so forth. So that's something that's going to happen in God's timing. But ultimately, our walk of faith, where we rise above common sense, is a faith that will walk today, now, this moment. We are men and women of faith now, this moment. And that's what it's all about. And that's why we can overcome all of these things. That's why we don't have to say, I need more faith. You have the faith today. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible. That's the principle of it. Or we're saying to ourselves, we're going through a trial where, oh, the debt is just too big. We're getting more and more into debt. And of course, that is a huge problem in the world today. Well, common sense says, yes, you are. But faith says, my God will provide. And all he ever asks for is just simply that mustard seed of faith to believe. And he will do it, because he's faithful. Or this sickness is too far gone. I've been sick for too long, or it's too big. Nothing can be done. You have the faith today, now, for whatever your situation is. But faith will rise above common sense. It's what we choose to believe. Or I need those tablets. Well, again, our faith will know what to do. Or we make the excuse, I'm not intelligent. I'm not like you. I don't have that understanding of God and his word and so forth. Faith will believe. Will I have enough money to buy food for the end of this week? It just goes on and on. Or I'm not able to give. I'm not able to give towards the body or whatever it is. We make so many excuses because we are looking and we are influenced by common sense. But if we desire to be men and women who walk by faith, then we're going to believe that faith that is within us rises up above common sense, rises up above what I feel, what I'm going through, and so on. Don't try and analyze it. Don't try and work it out. All we know is that it just will do it. I know we have many, many promises, and many of them we know, and I could read them over and over again, and of course it's important to do so, but we know in Philippians 4 and verse 19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All your need. What do you have need of? Well, those needs can be quite diverse. Maybe you have need of growing closer to Jesus. Or maybe you have a need for something in your life. He doesn't use the word what you want, he says what is needful. And we notice it says, according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So it's always for his glory. It's about Christ glorifying his name. We know this, but at times we so often lose sight of this. You see, there's always something that arises with regard to our faith walk that contradicts. You see, faith has to be tested, because the trial will tell you whether it's faith or not. If it's not faith, then it kills faith. And our trials are the best thing, actually, to tell us where we stand. And the humble who humbly walk before God will discern, will be sensitive, will not try to make excuses because I failed in faith. I missed it. The humble will acknowledge that. The humble will say, my faith was killed by common sense. Father, forgive me. Show me. Where did I go wrong? What do I need to see so that I can rise above this that will glorify your name? Wish to God more Christians were honest and open in that area. I think we would find a lot more unbelief removed from our faith if Christians took this one seriously and honestly and humbly before God. But we still try to make excuses to cover it up. And you cannot. Because sometimes, in faith, you can be in a life or death situation. And there are many believers who should have walked longer with God, but haven't, because they were not honest in this area. God isn't going to push us out of his presence. In fact, the trials that are exposing unbelief are doing that very thing that I have just said, so that sin can be removed, so that your faith can be washed by the blood of Jesus, so that you can get back into his presence, back into believing, and get it right this time by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, and not by self or what you thought was faith. God gives us more chances than we actually realize, brothers and sisters. But it is the humble who walk before God who will be sensitive and who will hear that, you see. But our faith is going to be tested. What did Jesus say in Matthew 11? Matthew 11 and verse 6. Blessed is he who is not offended in me. Your faith is on Jesus alone, because we're partakers of him. And as he says here, that if our faith is on him, then he says, you are blessed and you will not be offended in me. And sometimes we get offended because it didn't work. We get down, we get depressed. We start to become offended in Jesus. It doesn't mean that we outwardly do it, but we find ourselves not wanting to trust him quite so much. I'll let common sense steer and guide me. Oh, we can become very offended in the Lord quite easily, brothers and sisters. It doesn't take an awful lot. But he said, you're blessed if you're not offended by me. And the key to understanding this is that we have to see that we are partakers of him. Hebrews 3 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 14, of which he says, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. And so it goes on. That is how faith grows, brothers and sisters. Don't harden your heart. Okay, it didn't work yesterday, but it may work today or it will work tomorrow. Don't be offended. Stay with it. As he says, we're partakers. We hold the beginning of our confidence, or we could say faith there, steadfast to the end. It's going to come. It may be tarrying, and often it is, but the fact is, this is how we become steadfast, by staying with it, because faith feeds off those conditions. That's the point. Your faith is on Jesus alone. Why? Because you are partakers of him. Your faith is on Jesus. Your faith, you could say, in a sense, is Jesus. Because he's the giver of faith. It is from him. You receive the ability to believe from him. It's not in your ability or my ability or my strength. That's what he's trying to get over to us, brothers and sisters. And when you start to believe that, then you start to rise above common sense. Because common sense will say, oh, it's my faith. I've got to believe. I've got to try and work it out. I've got to step out in faith. I. That's what common sense does. That's what logic, knowledge says. We have to get over that. We have to rise above that. That's why he's changing and renewing our minds, delivering us in that sense. You can't work this out logically. Common sense can't work this out at all. Don't even try to do it. He has given that gift of faith. It's there. I know it's there. And that's all I need to know. And all I care about is that this faith that is in me, which is Christ, is for the glory of God. We have had such wrong attitudes towards faith. And we believe on him, and everything else that we believe on him that even challenges our faith is simply going to strengthen it. So the fact that we believe on him, the fact that it is a gift, everything that challenges our faith is a means of strengthening it. And if you can see that and just hold on that, and you see, again, it defies common sense, but my challenges are to strengthen my faith. And God is doing that. As we won't stand for the last days, brothers and sisters. The very fact that we're here tonight, the very fact that we're having fellowship, we've come into this room, is a clear sign our faith is being strengthened by the one we look to, who is Jesus. As we won't be here, we won't be even in this room. The very fact we come into this room, we listen to this word, means that our faith is being strengthened by him to be able to hear this word and to overcome. That is the whole point. Our faith isn't about us, it's about for the glory of God. It's about Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's why our faith is a gift. He's the author and finisher of that faith. And he knows how to start it, and he knows how to finish it. And that is why we walk by faith and not by sight. We've just read this, haven't we, to you. What is Hebrews 13? Turn to Hebrews 13, chapter 13, and look at verses 5 and 6 of Hebrews 13. 5 and 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? That's the ultimate of what he's doing with our faith. Our faith says, nothing will separate me from the love of God. Nothing. And God will send trials and tests in which to confirm that. Because our faith is the anchor. Praise God. You see, our faith isn't to teach us, but to make us into something. That's what faith is to do. You try and analyze faith. There's a lot of people today are teaching faith. And faith, yes, is to be taught. But the ultimate aim of faith is to make us into something. And that is the sons of God. Heirs to the throne. First fruits. Making us ready for the bride of Christ. It's an aim. That's the whole point. And if you are just going to theorize faith, and you're just going to hold seminars all the time on faith, and just simply talk in a sense, in a theological sense of faith, you will fail to understand what faith is to produce. There are times when you can't actually talk about faith, because it's so profound. Faith is actually to be seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, as it says in Hebrews 11:1. We may be waiting for whatever we're believing for, but the evidence will be seen. It's actually seen. It's there. This is why the Word of God and the promises of God's Word is actual and real. This book, these 66 books that we hold in our hands, is real. It is spiritual. And it's going to be manifested and seen. And the ultimate of that manifestation finally will be seen when the Lord Jesus Christ will be visibly seen and will come and rule and reign on the earth. Again, we will see the Word made flesh again. But until then, we believe by faith and we walk by faith. And so whatever needs are in your life and my life, in that right time and way, faith will visibly reveal and show that God is true to his word, his promises. And that's why we hold on to the word of God. And we hold on to the word of God, and I know it goes against common sense. There's saints who are holding on to the word of God for their healing. It goes against common sense. There are saints who are holding on to the word of God for their rebellious son, or for their husband or wife, that their soul will be saved. Again, it goes against common sense. But God is working with us to rise above that. As I said at the beginning of this teaching, common sense has a place. Of course it does. The world lives by common sense. Well, it should do. Even that's going sadly in society. But the point is, for the overcomer, we don't walk that way. We're not governed by common sense. We are governed now by faith, because that faith is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Our faith nourishes the life of Christ in you and me. It's not about us. Our faith isn't really about you or about me. Our faith is about the one who lives in us, and his name is Jesus. And when our faith glorifies Jesus, the world, yes, will see your faith. They will see that you have a strong faith, but your faith is always pointing to God, to his word, his promises. Your life points to Almighty God, to the one who lives in and through you. We've made too much of faith about us, about me, my needs, my wants, myself, and so on. We need to get delivered from that mindset, because that is pride that holds that. Our faith, my faith today, now, is all about one thing: for the glory of God, for Jesus Christ in me. That is what our faith is about. That is how Jesus walked on the earth. He walked in that way and manner because he glorified the Father. He did only what the Father revealed and showed, because he knew he was one with him. Do you know, brothers and sisters, do you know that you are one with Almighty God? Is your faith pointing to that? Because that is where your faith starts. Your faith is motivated by the life of Christ that lives in you and I. And when we see that, we experience that, we start to rise above common sense. We will start to see these things happen. Yes, we will see the sick healed. We will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We will cast out those demons, as it says in Matthew 16 and various other scriptures. That's just part of it. We will see these needs met, because it is the life of Christ in and through me doing it. We need to nourish much more the life of Christ in us. It's not about you. It's not about me. And that is why we need to let go of those things where we still are struggling to survive. We're still holding on. I must do it. God has never saved you or I that I must do it. You must do it. The one who lives in you will do it. It is a yielding over. As he says as disciples, we too take up our cross daily and follow him. The cross is to bring the life of Christ out in you and me, as I decrease, that he increases. And that way you will rise above common sense. You will see these major breakthroughs in your life, because it's God doing it. That's his whole purpose. And that's why I said our faith isn't to teach us, but to make us into something. Our faith has got to rise above common sense, because common sense defied Jesus' resurrection. And that is why you look to the cross. Because when you look to the cross, you look to the resurrection. And resurrection defied common sense, brothers and sisters. It can't be done in the natural. How can a man or woman be raised from the dead? But Jesus was. Lazarus was. You will as well. And so we look to the resurrection. Because the ultimate of faith, the pinnacle of faith, is resurrection. Is defying death that holds man, that holds the world. Because you are now found in the second Adam. That is actually its pinnacle. That is its ultimate. That is why I believe strongly in these last days, with the greater works coming and so on, we're going to see people raised from the dead. In fact, it happens now. But we're going to see it, because that is what it's about. That is what it points to. That's what lives in you and me. What lives in you right now is resurrection. Resurrection, faith, is raising you above common sense, which says it can't be, it can't be done, and so on. You can't reason with faith, the same as you can't reason with common sense. You either believe or you don't believe. You either know you have even that mustard seed of faith now, this moment, or you don't. If you haven't got it, get on your knees and open your heart before God and say, Father, my faith is not about me. My faith is a gift. My faith lives in me because Jesus lives in me. It is you that takes over where faith is concerned. That is the rest of faith that Hebrews speaks about. The moment you're trying to act your faith, you're trying to believe, you're trying to do all this, you bring yourself down into works and condemnation. You cannot. God saved you and I, that in the flesh, you can't walk this walk. He wouldn't have saved us otherwise. Salvation is so that you don't walk in your own strength, in your own feelings, in your own emotions. Our salvation, our faith, is to walk on water. And we should also believe for that. We should expect it. It's what we've been saved for. It's how we are to walk. Now, again, these are attitudes. These are deliverances in the mind. And that's why God's setting us free in our minds. He's bringing, he's casting down those mindsets, those things that have held us in bondage, in works, in pride, in unbelief. I believe tonight, for those of us who are really listening with our heart to this word, we're sitting right in the midst of deliverance. God's casting down strong things tonight in our minds and hearts. And we're going to find, if we've really taken this in tonight, this word that I believe is from the throne of God, then we're going to start to find we're going to rise up. And we're going to walk above common sense. We're going to know that God has saved me for a purpose. That's why I keep saying, brothers and sisters, you're not an accident. You're not here by chance. You have been saved for a purpose from the foundation of the world. To glorify God. To show the world that he has a people who walk by faith and not by sight. Let God glorify his name through you. He knows how to do it. Just look to the Godhead, the life of Christ that lives in you and me. And start to nourish that life. Look to that life that is in you. One with you. You're one with the Godhead. You are made one with absolute perfection. No blemish, no sin, no defilement, no sickness, no wrong thinking, no negativism. You can just go on and on and on. That's why we have to put amen to it. You are made one with absolute perfection. And here Jesus is glorified, risen, seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding, working on your behalf. Quickening your faith. Brothers and sisters, if Jesus is believing through you, then your belief comes from his believing that is in you. And that is what the walk of faith is about. When you see faith operating in your life, when you see your faith rising above common sense, that is Jesus' faith manifested through me at that point. Because he was the one that first believed. And I chose to believe along with him. That is our faith. That is why our faith is so personal and one with him. That is why it is spiritual. And that is why we worship God in spirit and in truth. And that's why Jesus said to the woman, if thou canst believe, this is for the glory of God. The raising of Lazarus was for the glory of God. Our faith, your faith, my faith, is all about for the glory of God. It's not about you. It's not about me. Even though I'm just a mouthpiece preaching this, it's about the glory of God. Your healing is for the glory of God. Your sickness is for the glory of God. Your getting out of debts is for the glory of God. Your salvation for your family is for the glory of God. Your ministry that you have is for the glory of God. Your witness is for the glory of God. I just can go on and on. That is what your faith, my faith, is about. It's not about me or you. And if you want that, brothers and sisters, then your faith will rise above common sense. Heavenly Father, tonight again we bless you, Lord. We thank you, Father, you are so faithful. We thank you, Father, that you just help us, you encourage us, you give us hope. You just show us, Lord, where we go wrong. It's still too much of self. What I must do, I must achieve. And it isn't. It's as though we saved ourselves. We didn't. You first loved us. It wasn't even in us, Lord. We were quite happy sinning in the world. But Father, we thank you that you are raising us up. You're raising us above common sense, above fears, all those things that try to hinder us and stop us, that we will be men and women who walk by faith. Why do we walk by faith? Because Christ in us is walking his life in and through us. That's why. And so, Lord, when they see us, our lives will always point to Jesus. Because it is Jesus in and through us who's doing it. Father, please make this a reality. Please translate these words into faith, that they may be lived and acted upon. Don't let this just be another teaching, just theology. Let it also be an experience, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Rushes onward, ever growing. see.